this is going to be really cool. The last time I saw Curtis Joseph was up in the alumni box last spring, I think it was, when you and I think it was against the Winnipeg Jets, too. We were in the seats, and we snuck up in between the first and second for some spring rolls and some pesto pasta, and Cujo was up there looking very comfortable. And we can confirm he was wearing his alumni jacket.
Yes.
His book is out. You can find it online. You can find it in stores. The Untold Story of My Life on and off the ice. Curtis Joseph in studio. What's up, Cujo?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing good. Well. That you can confirm that, right? You wear the alumni jacket when you're up in the alumni box down at the Scotiabank or what?
I wear it when they tell me to wear it.
See? Let me ask the first question. Do you ever wear it outside the alumni box or outside the Scotiabank Center? Like, just, you're going to go out for dinner at Jack Astor's tonight. You're going to put on the alumni coat?
I usually look at my closet and go, hey, should I wear my Leaf jersey or should I wear my alumni coat?
What's the better option?
Both great options.
Where am I going to get a free dinner?
See, I tried to explain to these guys, I think, like, some kind of summer cocktail party or, like, a fall cocktail party.
This guy, I like it.
He loves his
you
alumni
fire up
jacket.
The alumni jacket. I think it's a good conversation piece if you're like at a cocktail. People will be like, oh, what's that? It's like, ah,
you used to play for the Leafs.
You might as well wear your jersey. It's the same. It's like a step
that
below
is not
your
true.
Contract
your
right here. And it's a step below it, I think. But I like it. I support it. It's a nice looking jacket.
True.
Did a good job with the jacket. I like wearing it, actually. Yeah. It's nice.
See, but there you go.
You played for the Flames. If the Flames had one, would you proudly wear that when you went back to the Saddle Dome?
I only played a half a year there. My first home game was in the playoffs. Made a save and they welcomed me to Calgary.
That's not bad. It could have been worse. Yeah. Could have been a lot worse. You could have let that one in and then they booed you.
Yeah. It's true. Wow.
So you got the book out and you talk a lot about your upbringing, and I wasn't aware of this. I don't know how many people within the hockey world were aware of this, but I think tough is probably the right word to use. Like, how comfortable were you in revealing the details of your childhood, and why did you decide to write about that?
Yeah, good question. I never talked about it ever because I was embarrassed of my childhood as a kid. I didn't know how to deal with it, first of all. As a kid, you're not really equipped to deal with it. I look back and... But, I met Stephanie, 11 years ago, and she's like, oh, I'm so glad where you came from, and tell me about this, and tell me about that. She goes, that's a great story, you got to write a book. And I'm like, oh, okay, Steph, that's great, glad you love me. But, so anyway, it's hard, because I'm a private person, and I left that behind. I wanted to make a life for myself, and I wouldn't trade it for the world, because that's who it helped me make who I am, And when I met my birth mother, Wendy, that's what I said to her. I said, Wendy, you made the best decision. I was in my 20s. I said, you made the best decision on having me. Thank you very much. I've had a great life. Thanks for having me.
So did she put you up for adoption? Or how? Like, do you write about that?
We write all about it. And I asked her, we'll text back and forth or email. And I asked her to write a chapter in the book. And I didn't hear from her for 3 weeks. I didn't hear back from her. And the first line was, Curtis, this is hard. And so she did, but she goes, I'll do it. It's a great book. I've talked to Kirsty. She's amazing. And I'll do it. So it was good.
How difficult was it, Cooch, to like track her down or find her?
That's good. I always wondered where I came from. I didn't look like either parent at all. And I knew I was adopted, not officially adopted. And that's another thing in the book is that my last name was Curtis Monroe. So, she just handed me off to a nurse who she thought could take care of me. And it was a good decision, to do that because she couldn't. It was the 60s and she wasn't equipped and she wanted to give me a better life. And so she and I see in the book when Jan had gone to see her that Wendy didn't give her the okay to remove Monroe as my last name.
Was there ever a situation, and I think you see this in sports sometimes, where you give your kid up for adoption and all of a sudden you're just looking at somebody on TV making saves and it's the superstar and maybe they're a celebrity? Was there ever a situation where somebody wanted to get back in your life and they're like, oh, that's actually my son doing that?
I give them a lot of credit because when, and you guys can attest to this, when you become an NHL player and you start making money everybody and their brother come out of the woodwork and ask for money.
Yeah.
At least that was the case that I felt. Wendy or Curtis Nickel never, ever asked me for anything. You know, never came out, and I sought out them. So they're good people, and never asked for a dime.
Curtis Joseph in studio. The new book is Cujo, The Untold Story of My Life on and Off the Ice. Can you give us a couple of examples, though, of your childhood? You know, what's detailed in the book? What was so difficult about it? And how difficult that was to actually write and reveal to the world?
Yeah, you know, the more I talked about it, the easier it got. And I do, you know, kinsmen dinners in Saskatchewan. And I just speak to kids or junior teams about my childhood and about how I got to the NHL. It was not a regular route. And people would come up to me with great response. You can go, well, that was a great story. You should write a book. You know, or I was adopted. So I became more comfortable. But some of it was hard writing. Some of the things about growing up, you know, was food. There wasn't really any food in the house, and the mother wasn't present, you know, at all. And, you know, you could tell I wasn't their kid because there was no parenting or love or affection. I never got hugged as a kid, obviously, and they never went to the practices or games. They never saw one practice or game. There was always a community person that picked me up, a coach or somebody. And I'd always have my hockey bag ready, and the equipment came from the association. I'd go in above the Zamboni and grab all the, you know, single A up until major midget. So those kinds of things. And I slept on a mattress, you know, with, you know, the cats would urinate or pee on it or whatever, you know. And one of the biggest things, too, was I'd never have anybody over to my house because I grew up in a house that was for 20 mentally ill patients, like the insanity. So, you know, you don't really reveal that to your friends. Hey, you want to come over? By the way, you know, don't talk to this guy and stay away from that guy.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a little different.
And you started hockey, I believe, at 9, right?
Yeah, 9 or 10, probably.
Yeah, that's you know, another thing. You always hear stories of guys. I started when I was 4 or 5, and you started a little bit later and got that opportunity and jumped right into it, kind of hit the ground running. Like, when you were, you know, growing up, I don't want to keep hammering it down, but was it was there ever a time in that house where you felt a little bit scared based on the people that were in it?
And my bedroom was on the men's side, so I had to have a lock on a little hook lock.
Yeah.
And there's one guy in particular, Wellington. He was a flasher, and you know, I had to go downstairs and get potatoes, and I always, you know, head on a swivel, made sure I knew where he was and when I was going down there. And, you know, he had cornered me a few times, but nothing ever became of it. That's the only time I ever saw Harold Joseph mad. He was a gentle human being, but he, you know, he threatened him within his life, which was good. But, yeah, that's why I became a goalie, because I couldn't skate.
Yeah.
You know, they put me in net. It was house league. Actually, in King City, I was on the green team. And there was like a couple games left, and we ended up winning the little round robin.
Yeah, we used to win every tournament.
King City was good. It was a good place.
Yes, it was, buddy.
The book is Cujo, The Untold Story of My Life on and Off the Ice, Curtis Joseph in studio. So at what point, considering that upbringing, did you start thinking, you know what, I can make it somewhere, even if it's not even the NHL? I can go to college or I can go to junior. Like, at what point did that dawn on you?
There was never a thought of making the NHL. There was no way. Those guys were in another level. I knew there was AAA in the city somewhere, and those guys were like the NHL to me. Playing single A in East Gwillimbury, you know, up to 17. My goal, as I got older and I started playing junior A, I thought, you know, I can get a scholarship. That's my goal. Like, I think I can get one. And so it took me till I was an overage. In junior, I went out to Notre Dame, Saskatchewan, and finally got a scholarship and paid for it. And I was like, oh, I made it.
Right.
You know, that was how I was going to pay for school and how I was going to get an education. So that was the goal for me.
In terms of following the NHL, did you have a chance to do that? I mean, were you watching Leaf games? Were you listening to it on the radio? I mean, what was...
So my first game, a friend of mine took me. I was 17 or 18. I just dislocated my shoulder, I remember, and it was killing me. But I see Wendell now, and I go, hey, Wendell, you scored 4 goals twice in your career. First time I was watching you do it against Darren Poopa. and the next was against me. I go, I was there. I was present for both. I'm your good luck charm.
I was in the building. That was you were in Edmonton that for those four goals. That was at the Gardens, wasn't it?
I believe so.
I think
I try and forget stuff that, you know.
Yeah. Right.
You try and bury that stuff.
So did you have a connection to the Maple Leafs? Or, you know, when you signed here, obviously it's, you know, it was an amazing signing for the Leafs, but in terms of your connection with the area and all that?
Yeah, it was the Rick Vive days and, you know, Mike Palmateer. So I always loved watching Mike Palmateer. And I remember, you know, playing against Buffalo and here comes Rick Vive down the wing. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy's got an amazing slap shot. I've seen this a million times. So I would rush out of the net and he fired one, hit me in the high chest and he slid into me and he goes, yeah, right, kid? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, Mr. Vive, we're good. So I always tell him that story.
Any good Pat Quinn stories? I'm sure we could sit and, O-Dog loves to. We all, Pat Quinn was a friend of our show. We loved him so many, and we talked about him so many times on this show. I mean, anything stand out for you as far as
besides the Olympics?
Well,
oh yeah, no, we do touch on everything, and we talk about Pat a lot because we talk about the Leafs and my days with the Leafs, and you know, there's some funny things that you know, Pat would mispronounce guys' names in the league, you know, like...
he called Roberto Luongo Luigi. He's like, Luigi, you're starting in the Olympics.
And this Kovalov guy, man, you got to watch for him. And I'd be turned to heels and go, hey, they get a new guy? Kovalov. And then he dropped the lid on the marker, and it would be on the ground, and we'd all be like, our eyes would open up, and we're like, and he would do the teapot. And to get it, we'd all be like, you know, making bets on whether he's going to get it or not.
Is he getting back up?
That. But I love Pat. He's an amazing human being, as you said, Noodles. Yeah. Great guy. But yeah, there's lots of Pat stories in there.
The book is Cujo, The Untold Story of My Life on and Off the Ice. He is Curtis Joseph. We always appreciate you joining us. And this book, it sounds great. I think you're doing a great job of promoting it. The stories, I wasn't aware of them. Looking forward to reading it. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Thanks for finding some time for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. As always, guys, thank you.
You guys.
Thanks,
it.
Cujo.
There's
yep.
Curtis Joseph joining us in studio. Again, the book, one more time, Cujo, The Untold Story of My Life on and Off the Ice. It'll be in stores and, of course, online wherever you buy books.